A very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is Thursday, 16th of July, 2020. So we are having our Heart Sutra class. We are following the second edition of the Heart Sutra. We are at page 145. We will continue from there. Part 2, 2.1. We will have half an hour of silent inner awareness meditation. So in order to help those who are new, not familiar, you listen again. You must understand what you are doing in the name of meditation. So the instruction is very simple. The four support, remember the first two at least. Relax. Make sure you are doing that. Relax. It's not easy to relax. Please understand that. To really relax, need a lot of understanding. When you are sensitive, when you are aware, you can feel whether you are relaxed or not. And most people, I can tell you, unless you are a cultivator, you don't know how to relax. Even some cultivator, they are stressed out. They are not relaxed. To relax means to be completely at ease without any thinking, without anything to worry them. There's no more problem, at ease, let things be, silent. Then maintain awareness means don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Just aware and find out what is going on without words. Just a silent mind, aware. Whatever that comes to your senses, where you have a consciousness which is the mundane mind trapped inside your physical body. So you will pick up all the sensual consciousness, your hearing, your smell, your taste, your tactile, or even your thought process. All this will arise. But let it arise, just aware, finish. After that, don't follow it, don't create any more thinking. Just aware, even tactile, aware, aware, aware. Then when you are sensitive, more mindful, when you can be aware of your heartbeat, like Pojang, the case, after you have developed the daily mindfulness, stabilized already, then the awareness is there. Then you just stay there, be with it, like Kok Lun say. Silent your mind. That is your anchor. You don't need all the object of meditation, nothing. Just stay there. If you cannot feel the heartbeat, whatever location that can detect the vibration. Well, our body has a lot of vibration. Everywhere there is vibration. Especially the surface where it touches your cushion or pillow or whatever. Even when you lie down, the one that touches your pillow, your shoulder, your body, you can sense them. Or you put your hand on the cold, chill floor, you can feel the vibration everywhere. So silence everything and just feel. Don't try to know, just aware, 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 until it stabilizes. So remember, these two you are not doing means your thought is active. Relax, develop the ability to be aware. So relax means at ease, don't have any problem. So don't worry, don't think nothing. Just allow it to be, let things be. If thought arise, let it arise. Whatever arise, let it arise. You just maintain awareness, just aware. Aware, aware. Aware is before the knowing. No need to know. No need to do anything. Try out. Develop just this tool. Then stabilize this awareness. You will progress, I tell you. Okay. You can slowly, finally come out of the meditation. So we will define to you some of the important definition of all these aggregates of mind. Mental formation or sankhara. So sankhara is a Pali word. So the English word that the Xianhua side use is mental formation. But that one is just one aspect of the four or five English word that the Theravada tradition use. So the actual meaning of sankhara is in fact very much deeper. So to them, mental formation is translated as sankhara. So sankhara is basically the activity of mind or everything that your mind can do, including feeling and perception. And they have these universal characteristics of impermanence. So impermanent is a universal characteristic prevalent to all phenomena or prevalence in all phenomena. Meditation is to see this characteristic clearly, see clearly how phenomena come and how it goes, how they arise and passes away, see clearly their birth and death, their rise and fall, etc. They follow certain movement. We call it the cycle. Just like the wave in the ocean. They have their cycle. So if you were to observe phenomena, even sound, or even whatever that you come to perceive. Everything has its birth and death, which is short, like your breathing. There is this in and out of the birth and death of your smell, even your tactile or whatever. Not only your breathing, your footstep is the same. That's the reason why when I was observing this footstep, I realized there is a continuous birth and death of the footstep, the arising and the passing away. Of course, in between there is a sustaining phase. So the moment it starts off is the arising. Then after that, the sustaining. Then the finishing of, that's like the birth and death, the arising and passing away. So your feeling within your physical body, your sensation, they all have this phenomenon. And all this arising and passing away, the in and out breath, or the experience of phenomenon, if you to observe with the silent mind, you can see them clearly exhibiting this impermanence, means they are dependent originating condition arising. When condition arise, they arise. When the sustaining condition continue to exist, that vibration or that phenomenon continue to exist, like my voice. The moment I stop speaking, the vibration is gone. The voice vibration, that phenomena is gone. So the arising, sustaining, and passing away, these are the usual phase. But sometimes it's so short, you're only able to detect the arising and the passing away, the birth and the death, the in and out. So all these are the various characteristics of phenomena, and all of them have this universal characteristics of impermanence. Impermanent means they never stay still, they never continuously like exist like a permanent unchanging entity. No, unless it's the unconditioned. It can't stay that way. So the condition is always affected by whatever that sustains it. Otherwise, it cannot arise. Like the Buddha said, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. So all of meditation is to see this with a silent mind and awaken to it. So this silent observation, which is meditation, is what we call mindfulness or sati, according to the Buddha. So the universal characteristic of change, you can see them clearly in the meditation. Because everything that you come to perceive or become aware of, they are all dependent originating condition arising cause of. When you see them so clearly, so often, so this universal characteristic become something that is deeply understood by your nature. That's why your mindfulness, your silent mind, will enable you to understand this. Not through your thought, mundane thinking mind. That one create knowledge, concept, idea. That one cannot see, because that one is not silent. It's not that nature. It don't have that energy to see. Mindfulness, sati, is the silent mind with the wisdom energy that can awaken. That is the one that is very extraordinary. That's why you must realize it. You must experience it in the meditation, especially your formal meditation. That stay with it until it becomes very clear, until you understand that nature very clearly. Then you see how from that nature your mundane mind arise, your thought process arise, the aggregates of mind arise. Then how sankhara becomes the content of consciousness. Because sankhara, they are your accumulation of memory, which are your conditioning, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your belief system, everything that you accumulate while going through life. Sometimes it may be your education background, the environment, like how society evolved, how you are exposed to that influence. So it can be your race, your tradition, your culture, all this has a bearing on your life, and it creates conditioning in you. Then it becomes solidified into your belief system, into your conditioned mind. Then from there, you act, you live your life. That's why you have to see all this clearly when you are aware, mindful. Then you can understand why living beings behave that way. How come there is no peace? Because they are acting from the mundane mind, which is the egoic mind. And the mundane mind is basically thought process. And thought is respond from memories. Without memory, there is no thought. So see all this clearly. And memories are our accumulation of experiences, good and bad. Everything that I described just now, our views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, our traditional culture, everything, even our education system, whatever that influences us when we grow up, they are the one that mold us. Of course, you won't like be influenced by everything. It is because each and every one of us have our karmic past, karmic inheritance. So from our karmic past, we tend to cling, accumulate, and hold on to all this. And most people who are heedless, who lack the spiritual ability to understand truth or the teaching or the Dhamma, they will end up conditioned, very badly conditioned by all this sankhara activity. Then sometimes because that sankhara has become so habitual, it becomes habitual tendency. That's how you live your life. That's how you react to sense experience. That's how you cling, grasp, attach and hold. Then the resultant of it is suffering. That's like craving leading to attachment, grasping and clinging is the cause of suffering. And all this is a result of our wrong view, sakkayadhiti, self-delusion. So meditation is to have the ability to silence our mind, to be sensitive, to be aware of all this movement. So sati is most important. Without sati, you cannot see, you are like blind, you are not sensitive, you cannot be aware. So the emphasis is on sati. Sati is something you have to experience. You cannot learn because it's not a knowledge. It's something that you have to realize. And the definition is very important. Sati is mindfulness. And mindfulness is awareness before the knowing. How do you know? You have to perceive to know. And all knowing comes from the thought process, which is knowledge. Which means when there is no thought, you are aware. Means the moment thought ceases, you are naturally aware. So don't try to become mindful or aware. That trying is by the thought. When the thought is active, how can you be mindful? That's why meditation is very simple. Relax. Don't do anything and maintain awareness. That's it. Silence everything. Then you will realize sati. You will realize your true mind, your silent mind, which is your meditative mind. So this silent inner awareness is your true mind, your awareness nature within. And that one is not a being. That one cannot come out and live. That one is your nature, which you have to realize it clearly before you can meditate. That is the mind that is without thought. That's why the first hallmark of awakening is wu nian, without thought. It takes you to the true mind straight away. Then your meditation becomes very easy. You progress very fast. You don't have to waste your time doing all the method, technique, and so-called thought-based meditation, even all the skillful means. If they are helpful to some, use it, but to me, they are not really important. If you understand that you are heedless because you lack the five spiritual faculty, then what you have to do is to cultivate the five spiritual faculty and develop them until it's very stable. Then you are all the time in the meditative state. It's just as simple as that. Otherwise, you have to just develop the training of the mind to realize the third spiritual faculty, which is sati, to start off with the meditation. And to do that, the four support, like Po Chen came to know, so simple yet so profound, so amazing, so potent, simple but very effective, very direct, and everything just happened. Relax, maintain awareness, don't try to know, don't try to do anything. The moment you are without thought, when you are relaxed, means you are at ease, you are not thinking, you don't have problem. That's why you just maintain the inner peace, inner awareness and inner silence. Just aware, finish. And when I finish, don't allow the thought to proliferate. Continue to proliferate to create thinking that make you heedless. Why do you want to think? Is it necessary to think? Because you are not living life. You are meditating. So why should you think? But when you need to live life, maybe you need the thought process. You need to use thought, which is right view leading to right thought. That's why you must develop the wisdom first. Without the awakening, the wisdom, you cannot live life. You cannot arise right thought. Technically, not possible. Unless you have done some reflection, contemplation, first and second turning wisdom, then you can also tap on your past cultivation. And then occasionally, you may have a glimpse of some initial wisdom or right thought. But that one is not stable. Not something where you can really consistently arise, because you have not stabilized the understanding. You have not developed the true awakening. That's the reason why the third turning wisdom, which is very penetrative and more potent, you need to develop it. And the third turning can only come when you are developing the bhavana, the meditative training with the silent mind. It's either in the form of meditation, then you awaken, or in the midst of life when you are having your daily mindfulness, which is very stable, the continuity of mindfulness leading to heedfulness. Yeah. Either these two, daily mindfulness with the heedfulness, or in the form of meditation, fully aware, constantly meditative, just aware, aware, aware. That's it. So now I will read through one more time. Maybe you will develop the understanding. Mental formation are sankhara or activity of mind, which include everything that your mind can do. Like your usual sankhara activity, you call it mental activity or mental thinking, mental formation, mental states, mental volition or mental intention. Then what about the rest? Like your planning, your scheming, your cunningness, your deceitfulness. These are all part of sankhara. And many other things. Especially the mental states. There are a total of 52, including feeling and perception. And these two are separated out because the Buddha has a reason for it. Which I explained earlier. Then we move on. Impermanent is a universal characteristic. So there is this universal characteristics of impermanent, which is prevalence in all phenomena. See clearly how phenomena come and how it goes, how they arise and pass away, their birth and death, their rise and fall, etc. All conditioned arising phenomena are impermanent. This sentence is very powerful. And they do not have a permanent and changing entity of their own. See in the meditation, then you understand. Thus, everything is in a state of flux, continuously arising and passing away, arising and passing away, especially our aggregates of mind, our thought process. The way our mind perceives things or become aware of things, all these things exhibit this universal characteristics of change. Sometimes it's very fast. It is like in a state of flux, very fast. So you have to learn to see all this. When you are mindful and aware, you can see them. So understand that all conditioned phenomena are impermanent and they do not have a permanent unchanging entity of their own. Hence, they cannot be owned and held unto as the I and the me. So this is wrong view, Sakkaya Ditti. That's why the personality, the egoic mind, the I and the me, is a result of that wrong view, Sakkaya Ditti, self-delusion. You cling onto the five real form and mind, thinking that it's you, thinking that this human being is you. So this delusion is very powerful. The Buddha called it self-delusion, Sakkaya Ditti, where you grasp onto the self thinking that it's real. The five aggregate. Rupa Vedana Sanya Sankara Vijnana. Then I went on to share with you our fundamental nature is the oneness nature or the Buddha nature. When you realize your oneness nature means when you silence everything and just be in that state of awareness without a center. That one, you are the oneness. You return to the source of all things. So people call it by different name. Some call it the super Atman or ultimate self. Then some call it the Buddha nature, the oneness nature. Then some call it the kingdom of God, the heavenly nature and all those things. These are words. But you have to really go through the meditative experience and understand what all this is. Because it is the unconditioned. It is the original nature. When everything ceases, even the pure awareness that first come out from that nature also ceases, then only you can return to the source. We call it the oneness nature or the unconditioned, which is the realization of Nibbana. The mind that realizes itself and ceases realizes Nibbana. But the form and mind that is connected to it will understand when it come out. Otherwise, nobody else can understand. Because that is the unconditioned. You cannot describe it. But the form and mind that is connected to it, after it come out of the cessation, Nibbanic experience or whatever, that so-called realization of Nibbana, Nibbana, that form and mind that have gone through it, can use word to describe it. But the word is not the thing, based on condition. But the one that has gone through will understand very clearly. And from there, he will understand how creation come about, how the form and mind arise, how it become what it is, how it return to the source. That's why you will see all this movement. Then you start to, like, the first thing that come out of it from that nature means the pure awareness come out first. Then at that time, you are still not conscious. You're just aware. Then the awareness can see all the sense data coming in. Then you will also understand because it has lived with that mundane mind before. Like I told you before, last night Cameron Highland come down. My mind was like newborn. Then it come out. Then the sense data starts to come in. Oh, you know very fast they come in. Then you know, see clearly the link, the dwelling. How upon contact what happened and how that mundane mind starts to arise. Then how you manifest and you know you will go back to the old way. You will return and become that mundane mind again. Then everything become clear after that. Then when you see all this, you really transform. You are no longer deluded. That's why the one that has gone through the realization of Nibbana is different. Even the sinhood way, one glimpse of it is powerful enough to awaken you. You will know Sakaya ditti, self-delusion. There is no such thing as a being inside that. He know you, he know me. That form and mind is completely conditioned for you to be existential. You will understand all this. So this is not a knowledge. This is not something that you learn. You have to realize it. You have to go through the whole cessation process, then that thing manifests itself and come out. Otherwise you can't understand. So the Buddha's teaching, the meditative experience is really amazing, very unique, very powerful. It really awakens beyond thought, beyond mind. So this is the aspect that you need to develop the understanding, the clear understanding of it. So all this that I have described for those who have developed the cultivation correctly, you will go through them, you will experience them, and you will understand what I say after you have gone through. But for those who are still on the way or have not developed it, don't worry. All these are recorded. And the Heart Sutta short notes, especially the second edition, everything you need to know, they are there. Then in order to fill the gap, because there are certain things that I described during the sharing is not in the Heart Sutta book. At that time, people has not realized that stage of cultivation. So even if I describe it also, it may not be useful. If people are not careful, it may become detrimental because they go and study as a knowledge. Then they go and use my word and tell people. But you cannot defend yourself. When people ask you a question, you cannot answer because you are copying the word. You don't really understand what they mean. So you will get yourself entangled. That's the reason why I always say, don't quote me. Don't use my word unless you have the understanding. If you have the understanding, no problem, by all means. Just like how I quote the Buddha's teaching, how I quote some of the things that my teachers said, because I understand them. Then no matter how you question me, I will know how to answer you. Where the truth is the truth. So these are the beautiful aspect of Dhamma. Okay, we move on with the sharing. Okay, 2.2. These are the important saying by this venerable master Guang Qing Lao Sun. So this venerable master Guang Qing, he is a very good monk, a very famous Mahayana Zen master. It seems he is not really educated. He don't even speak the usual Mandarin. It seems he speak dialect. Then later on, I think the disciple, they translated his teaching. Then they wrote the book for him. That's how all these Mandarin words come about. So I was lucky because in the early 80s or maybe middle 80s, I received two cassette tape, I think 45 minutes each. They call it the Guang Qing Lao He Sang Kai Si Lu. I remember those two tapes were so beautiful. I listened to them for very long, continuously for at least a year or two. Because they were so beautiful, so much very clear Dhamma inside there. And because I have the understanding at that time, I was able to assimilate a lot of things that he said, and I understand what he meant. Yeah. So some of the things that he said are so beautiful. Yeah. You have to maybe try to get hold of the tape, but it seems there is a book on it. Kai Si Lu means how he actually realized the Dhamma, and he used that as his teaching. Then inside there are a lot of very beautiful teaching, because the student used to ask him, Master, what is it that this word panya or wisdom mean? 智慧是什么? The way he answered, very beautiful. Sometimes this wisdom arises already, that person still don't know. He awakened already, but he still don't know. Because actually he awakened and connected, but because it's not in a knowledge form. But this wisdom is very funny. After that, when this person or that form in mind encounter situation, he know how to act. He know how to deal with the say, ah, that is wisdom. 那就是智慧. Just like Brother Chong, the Kaivan, he said, you cannot act in the midst of life. You cannot solve your problem in the midst of life. Means you don't have the real Dhamma cultivation yet. If you can solve your problem, means you can be at peace most of the time. Anywhere, any place, under any circumstances or condition, you are always at peace. And that is the sign of true wisdom. Able to be at peace, accord and flow with nature. Here there are three saying also from this Guang Qing Lao He Sheng. He said, 过去心不可得. The meaning is the mind of the past. 过去 means past. 心 is mind. Cannot be grasped onto because it is already gone. So it's not a reality. So 过去心不可得. Then the next opposite one is 未来心不可得, means the mind of the future also cannot be grasped because it has yet to happen or yet to come. So also not a reality. Then the best is the third one. He says 现在心也不可得. Oh, that is the most beautiful. When I heard it for the first time, my nature rejoiced. Because who can understand this unless it's the awakened being? So here the meaning is 现在 means the mind of this moment is the only reality and the highest in life. But to transcend life, we have to transcend even the moment, which is still within the field of thought. So this sentence is from my own understanding. Guang Qing Lao He Sheng never said that. He just gives you the final answer. Even the present moment, which is to my understanding after my nature awakened, is the highest in life. But he say, the mind or the moment, you can never hold on to or attach to. So his meaning is very deep. Because we have to transcend even the moment for you to realize enlightenment. So we have to transcend even the moment which is still within the field of thought. Hence the reason why the mind of the present moment also cannot be grasped onto, because it's still transient and unstable. Split second, it is dead and gone. But most important is to transcend life, to realize Nibbana, Liao Sen Si, to overcome birth and death, so that you don't have to come back technically to take rebirth through ignorance. You have to transcend even the present moment, where the present moment is still within the field of thought. It is still thought-based. Is still not a reality. it is still condition arising causal phenomenon. Even though it's the highest in life, the only reality in life. Highest because it's the only reality. That's the reason why a lot of new era teachers, when they come, they talk about the present moment awareness, like Eckhart Tolle, the power of now. Just give me a minute, Okay. So I read to you the note. Moment to moment life passes by. What are you doing? So reflect on this. When you reflect on this, you will understand very deeply. Then you will not be heedless anymore. So if moment to moment life passes by, and that is the only reality in life, the highest in life, then you have to reflect, what are you doing? Are you truly living life? Or are you too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life? So much so, you totally miss out on life. That is, you never get to truly live life. To be with the moment in silent awareness within, to feel and to experience the reality of the moment, including all of its wonders and beauties of life, is to truly live life. This sentence is very profound. You can understand it. You will be heedful. You will never be heedless. But that is the only reality in life. Moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? Are you truly with the moment, with present moment awareness, to be aware, to experience all of the pristine beauties and wonders of life, so that you are fully aware? That is what life is all about. When you are lost in thought, heedless, with all the emotion, sankhara, mind state, that condition your wrong thought, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, insecurity, your mind becomes restless. You lack clarity, you lack peace, you have a lot of suffering and misery. You are very, very restless. Your mind is really agitated, full of emotion. So how can that mind live life? How can that mind develop understanding? It can't. It will drive you towards the direction of heedlessness, and it will continuously give rise to wrong thought that condition your misery, your suffering. So see all this clearly, understand all this clearly, reflect, contemplate, and determine not to be heedless anymore. Determine to establish yourself in mindfulness. If you are not mindful, you cannot be with the moment. You are constantly lost in thought, heedless. And the heedless are as if dead. Your life, you hold the key to your own life destiny. Is that what you want? If that is not what you want, you better wake up. Don't be deluded anymore. Develop more and more wisdom, understanding, and train yourself diligently. Have faith. Develop the sadha until very stable. And sincerely walk the path with perseverance and diligence. So just three things: faith, sincerity, and perseverance. The path will unfold and you will awaken. So train your mind to develop heedfulness. Strive on with heedfulness. And heedfulness will bring forth the enlightenment. That's the reason why the Buddha said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die, whereas the heedless are as if dead. So never allow yourself to become heedless again. So diligently train yourself throughout the day. Full-time job. Have a good religious routine. Then develop your daily religious routine until the mindfulness becomes very stable, until your spiritual faculties become very stable. Then only you can reap the result. You can understand all this teaching clearly. Like how some of the Kayamita, especially Poching, has control. He said no need to do anything. Once the awareness nature develops, then everything like unfolds by itself. The understanding unfolds by itself. Everything arises and like transform her understanding. It's like she didn't do anything. The awareness nature becomes so different, so powerful, so amazing. Then through the last Tuesday sharing, I already told her, yeah, at that stage, she will keep on experiencing a lot of amazing meditative understanding and experiences, because these are things that are still very new to her. And this can happen because she has went very deep into that nature. So because of all the affinity and the condition, so everything falls into place because of her faith, her strong determination, then her what they call bodhisattva vow and affirmation, all those things fall into place, then things just manifest and happen. So like she said, if she can do it, almost all Kayamita should be able to do it. It's not difficult. Okay, we move on. Number three, part three, meditation. Now this part, I think there are many people who wants to know. During the early days, I remember the new people, they always ask me because they can't understand. They say, what is the difference between contemplation and thinking? So what do you think? A lot of people believe contemplation is like thinking. So you have to develop the understanding. So I will read to you my answer so that you can use this as a framework for you to develop understanding of what contemplation is and the difference that you can see clearly between thinking and contemplation. To contemplate on the Dhamma spoken by the Buddha is to reflect and inquire deep into the proclamation of truth that he has given us under his first turning of the first of the Four Noble Truths. So the first turning of the Four Noble Truths, there are four Noble Truths. Every of these, he turned it one time. He called it the first turning. So I will read to you the first turning of the first Noble Truth. So the first Noble Truth, the Buddha proclaimed the eight conditions, the reality of life and existence that can condition suffering and misery if you don't have the right understanding or the Dhamma is taught by him. Then he turned it three times. The first turning, he said, this noble truth of dukkha, which is suffering, the condition, you need to understand, is to be understood. So this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. First turning. So this is the inquiry you have to ask. Why did the Buddha say that? Then how can I do it? How can I develop the understanding of it? Because the Buddha said this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. So the first inquiry is very important, because this inquiry will lead you to reflect and contemplate. So if you were to ask yourself sincerely, based on clean slate, no conditioning, nothing. So like first time you hear about it, the first noble truth. Then the Buddha said, first thing, this noble truth of suffering, the eight condition, is to be understood. So the first inquiry is, why did the Buddha say this? Is it easy or not? You have to reflect, you know, you have to contemplate, you know, why did the Buddha say it? If I have not understood this first noble truth reality, what will happen? Yeah? What will happen? It's very clear cut, isn't it? If I don't even know that these eight realities are suffering, what happened? You suffer without knowing that you are suffering, isn't it? That's why this first noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. You have to understand. Birth is suffering. Old age, sickness and death is suffering. Separation is suffering. When things don't go your way is suffering. When you are with people whom you don't like is suffering. So in short, the five aggregates of grasping, the grasping aggregate, born of self-delusion, is suffering. So all this is reality. When you confront them without the Dhamma understanding and wisdom, it results in suffering. So I start to see through this inquiry the importance of understanding this noble truth of dukkha. Means the eight condition. I have to investigate into it. I have to reflect contemplate and develop the understanding so that the first turning wisdom can arise. This noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. So after I know the reason already, it will drive me. Otherwise, I suffer without knowing that this is suffering. That's why the world is full of misery and suffering. And all suffering cannot be apart from this eight reality. That's why this is the noble truth of dukkha that summarizes to us all of life. Yeah, whatever you experience within life, the mundane aspect, they cannot be apart from the eight reality. This eight reality summarizes everything. And nowadays, like I explained earlier on, maybe the traditional words that they use, that the Buddha used at that time, because at that time, civilization not so advanced, not so evolved. So if you just use those few words, it is incomplete. That's why I say when we share this teaching, the Dhamma, we have to modify it. We cannot just quote the old words, birth, old age, sickness and death. A lot of people do not even want to listen to you. This is like taboo to them, or all things you talk about, birth, old age, sickness and death. What is so interested about, so interesting about birth, old age, sickness and death? Well, to them, no meaning. But if you were to develop the understanding after you have reflect and contemplate on all this, then the scope become different. Then instead of only birth, it includes a lot of complication that can arise during birth. And birth can trigger a lot of traumatic experiences, misery and all those things. So when we reflect and contemplate, means we throw up this truth, like birth is suffering. Is it true that birth is suffering? So if you have gone through the birth process or you have experienced some form of baby delivered, and you have witnessed them, or if you are married, you may even read up and develop the experience from your wife as she go through the birth process, from the way she conceived until pregnancy, then until the final birth process. When you start to reflect and contemplate, means you inquire, why did the Buddha say birth is suffering? How can I develop the understanding? So I reflect. I reflect and I contemplate. Means what? Your mind, mundane mind, can recollect the whole birth process, like from the moment she conceived until the morning signal. So as you reflect and contemplate and recollect all those things that happened, because you are in the creative state, you are silent, you are just aware, you're creative, then you reflect, you recollect. Then as you go through, you will hit certain point. No wonder the Buddha say birth is suffering. Because the whole process leading to birth is full of moments of suffering and misery. The mother will understand it very clearly. Because it can be a very traumatic experience. Especially the lady, if they are not married, then first time they discover the period income. Or they realize that they are pregnant. They are nowadays this pregnancy test and all the same. So certain children, they are still so young. They don't know what life is and they don't know what lies ahead. Sometimes, due to ignorance, all these things can happen. Then there are people who think that this is something that is easy to deal with. No. You think like the kid playing masak. No. Because these are severe things leading to a lot of traumatic mental suffering and misery. Then the parent gets involved, especially if you are the parent of that girl who is involved in all this. Not easy, not easy to handle. Then the one that is married also, not easy. Of course, they are in a much better position. At least they are legally married. So you don't have complication with birth cert and all this thing. Then also, you have your husband or your spouse to be with you together to go through all this. And some wife, they want the husband to witness. So if you can, you should go in and have a look so that you understand how much suffering they have to go through. It's not easy, the birth process. Then also, as they conceive, they go through many stages. The morning sickness and all those things. Then a lot of things that they used to take for granted. Now, as the birth process continues, they can't do their what they call physical bodily condition starts to become out of shape. They have to walk not only mindfully, tactfully. Then they are finding their movement no longer like before. So they cannot simply do work or climb ladder or try to do things that can lead to accident and all this thing. Then the food that they consume and take, sometimes cannot, they just throw out because karmic thing conditioning and the baby, sometimes certain things they can't take. Then during pregnancy, I heard a lot of story. Certain thing that they use to dislike, somehow they go and take. Oh, then there are a lot of strange story too. They eat a lot of certain things. Then sometimes they listen to certain type of good music because the karmic condition of the children is such. So a lot of things you learn, you experience. Then as you move on, the pregnancy become different. Then you worry about the fetus not having movement or life. So there is this fear, insecurity. So for most mothers, as long as they can feel the baby is kicking or moving inside their womb, they have a lot of joy because this is life, your children coming. So many things you can develop the understanding through reflection, contemplation, mindfulness, awareness, and sensitivity. You develop all this understanding. I'm a man, I'm not a woman, I haven't delivered any baby before. But I developed the interest because when my wife was pregnant, I follow her and I learn many things from her. And I witness many things too. She even asked me to touch how my unborn child kick and how it swallow like one lump like that. Oh, swollen, then subside. Oh, I find it very interesting. Never experienced before. And my wife always tell me, oh, coming already, kicking, oh, you see that thing come out swell. Means the baby is alive, active, which is a good sign. Then you have to take her for monthly checkup. Initially, maybe not so often, but towards the later part, more often. Then, before the birth process, a lot of things you never experience. Even the first time, the bladder burst, all the water, oh, come on. Not bladder, the womb, the water bag, the womb. When the water bag burst, why you thought the baby coming out? Oh, no. Then when we reach the hospital, the nurse tells, don't worry, it's still a few more hours to go. So all this you learn, then from experience, you are able to actually experience them and develop the joy, the experience. So when you reflect and contemplate, means you recollect all these experiences and process that you go through. That you witness. Then from there, that reflection, that contemplation, you will hit certain part when you recollect, then you realize this is what the Buddha meant. Birth is suffering. So many stages and phases that I described just now. There could be a lot more. So if you really reflect and contemplate with the awareness mind within, the creative mind within, this is not like heedless thinking or gross thinking or very active thinking. No, the active thinking cannot reflect, cannot contemplate. Well, you have to recollect through mindfulness your life experiences. Then you go through it slowly in stages. And then when you hit certain point, you will recall to memory. Then you will know, oh, no wonder birth is suffering. Then what I want to share with you is, we no longer just say birth is suffering. We can describe all those processes. Then when it comes to old age, getting old, then you talk about dementia. You talk about memory losses and all those things. Then you talk about rheumatism and all those other things. Then the senses starts to fail you when you get old. So experiencing old age leading to disease, sickness, traumatic disease and sickness. So all these are called health problem, medical problem. So when you use this word health problem, medical problem, they are interested, the younger generation are interested, because they heard about this to their family, their parents, their grandparents. Then later on, as they grow up, they also experience certain, maybe early stages of old age sickness. Now, sickness is of course quite easy. Nowadays, young people also get depression, heart attack, then they also have this heart failure, stroke, and all those things. So nowadays there are a lot of very traumatic diseases like HIV, if you are not careful. Then they also have some very chronic type of rare diseases. Then like COVID-19 pandemic, they say it affects your respiratory system. And sometimes it can also damage your other organs and all those things. So these are not easy to understand and handle. When you are in the medical field, you understand what health problem is. Then you can relate more to old age and sickness. Then death, of course, is traumatic. When other people die, maybe you don't pay attention. But when your own family member dies, then you see the relevance. So all this, when you reflect, you contemplate, you can develop the understanding. Now we go back to the notes. So this part that I explained just now, now I read through, you will understand. This contemplative wisdom is called Chintamaya Panya, means second turning wisdom. So part of the second turning wisdom. So first turning is proclamation of truth, then second turning is reflection and contemplation. So that's why this second turning wisdom, second turning wisdom and second turning of Four Noble Truths are different things. Please don't get yourself confused. So second turning wisdom can be applied to the first Noble Truth, first turning, second turning and third turning. You can do it on all this. But more often is the first turning. Because first turning is proclamation of truth. Then the second turning is of course the more in-depth one. Like the first Noble Truth. First turning is this Noble Truth of Dukkha is to be understood. Okay, then you reflect, contemplate, then you move on, like what I teach or share with you. Then the second turning of the first Noble Truth, the Buddha say, this Noble Truth of Dukkha has already been understood. So the meaning is very deep. Means the the second turning wisdom is to develop the contemplation. I read through this one, then I will know. The first turning of the Four Noble Truths. Okay. Then this contemplation or contemplative wisdom, which is called Chintamaya Panya, is part of the second turning of the Four Noble Truths wisdom. So to develop this contemplative wisdom, one must have a calm and composed mind. This is what I mean. Your mind must be calm and composed, means in a creative state, collected with the spiritual faculty of Saddha, Virya, Sati and Samadhi, in its creative state, to inquire and to reflect deep into the second turning hidden meaning. So first turning is the proclamation of truth. So I have to reverse that a bit. So after the Buddha proclaimed, then second turning you reflect, contemplate into it. Then third turning is to meditate into it. Okay. So now we already got it right. Okay. Reflection and contemplation is a form of inquiry or investigation with the creative mind in sati. That's why you need sati. But there is some form of thinking. Slow. It's more like reflection, contemplation. Then like you recollect. That word is very good. When you are mindful, you can recollect because you have gone through it. You are aware of all those things. That's why you can recollect. So when you are aware of where you put your purse at the moment when you put your purse, then you can recall. Means you can recollect and remember that moment where you put your purse. That's why you will know where to find it. Even your spectacle, all those things is the same. That's why you can cultivate mindfulness and awareness through all these simple things which can help you in life. When you are mindful and aware throughout the day, you can recollect and you can recall what happened. Then you can have the, what they call, ability to be like, you tend to have this, there is one English word, what is it? Like you are more attentive. They call it. No, there's a word. My mommy has that one. He very observant one. It is like very observant one. You're very observant. There's an English word I forgot already. She has that. Never mind, when I remember I tell you. It is like you can see it very clearly. It's like they are more observant. They are more observant. Yeah, they are more observant. Yeah, means they are not really lost in thought. That's why they are more observant. Yeah. Some people are born with that ability. Yeah. My wife has that ability. Yeah. But when you are mindful and aware, you can do that, and you can be very observant. And you can see a lot of things that people never see, never aware. That's why you can recollect them. But we can only do one thing at a time. When we are aware of that thing, we cannot be aware of the rest. Unless you are silent without a center, means the awareness is without a center. And then different. That everything that moves within the awareness, you are aware. You are aware. The whole movement, the activity. Otherwise, you are with a specific phenomenal awareness. So when you are with a specific phenomenal awareness, you cannot be aware of other things. So always remember, when you are mindful, it doesn't mean that you have to be like good memory. Do you understand? A lot of people associate the lack of good memory as not mindful. No. Because sometimes when you are aware of that specific phenomenon, you cannot be aware of other things. So there is no such thing as memory. What actually the book say is different. The book say mindfulness is related to what they call you are able to recollection. Of what happened. That is true. That one is true. But when you are mindful, you can recollect that specific phenomenal awareness. Yeah, I did it before, I know. Yeah. But when you are not mindful, you cannot recollect. You don't know what happened. Yeah. So that recollection is the ability of mindfulness. After that, you can recollect, which is true. But mindfulness has nothing to do with recollection. Don't go and mix up the two. Mindfulness is just awareness. But because you are aware, you can recollect. So it's not the opposite. Understand now? It's not to be mindful is to have remembrance. No. It's the opposite. You mindful first. When you are aware and mindful, you can recollect. So if you are mindful at that moment of your action and movement, then you cannot be mindful of other things unless you have a general spacious awareness. Then that one is not a specific phenomenal awareness. That one is a wide range. So that wide range one is different. Then that one moves very fast. Whatever that moves within your awareness, you are able to be aware. That's it. That's why you can recollect and recall what actually happened. Then when you really attentively aware, then you have better understanding. Then the way you can recollect back is with more clarity. That's why sometimes I dare to tell you, yeah, I saw him doing that, or I saw him left the thing there, because I can recollect. At that time, I was aware of that movement, the awareness. But you cannot do this if you are thinking. You are heedless, you are lost in thought, because you are actually within your inner world of thought. You are not mindful of outside, you are not aware, you are not observant. The word is observant. When you are observant, you have the quality of mindfulness and awareness, otherwise you can't be observant. So this part is something that you have to maybe develop the understanding and try it out, then find out for yourself. Okay, I will read on. Okay. There is some form of slight creative thinking, but not the active thinking. So this one you have to understand. Some form of slight creative thinking. This is what I call recollection through memory. Recollection. Because you are mindful, you can recollect. But not the active thinking. To bring about a better understanding of what has been heard under the first turning, followed by the assimilation of it to stabilize one's understanding. Just like a talented musician and a talented person, when are they most creative? When they are in a very tranquil and conducive setting to reflect and contemplate on their talent. Their mind is usually very quiet, calm, and rather creative at that time. And that is the reason why they can have the talent to create such beautiful music. Reflect on what you have heard. Reflect on what you have heard, taught to you, or read about. Then listen with attentiveness and a calm mind. After that, reflect and contemplate with a calm mind, with very little or no thinking. Means you reflect, means you recollect. Reflection is like inquiry and contemplation, and its purpose is to stabilize what one understands. Note, assimilating the Dhamma is analogous to assimilating the food. That is like assimilating or absorbing the nutrient after eating the food. So when you reflect and contemplate, then you like stabilize the understanding. That's why you can assimilate them in. When you have stabilized the understanding, it's like you can assimilate this understanding into your nature, where you have reflected on it, contemplate on it. That's how your second turning wisdom stabilize, the initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara, come to be. The first turning is listening, proclamation of truth. Nowadays you can read about it. Then as you read, you can reflect and contemplate. You can do many things. Or you can listen attentively to the recording, to the video, the audio file. So nowadays there are more possibility of first and second turning wisdom because of science and technology, the advancement. We can record them, we can reproduce them. And now it's so convenient with a handphone. You can listen to them, play them. You don't have to have a computer in front of you. Then in the olden days, you have to do the tape recording or the VCD and the VCR recording. And they were not clear. Hardly audible, then it deteriorates very fast. So nowadays it's different. You can have pen drive, CD drive, you can even record them to very good quality recorders, then video camera, then we can now also Zoom. So it can be shared like video conferencing, Zoom meeting and other things. So science and technology has made a lot of things easier and possible. So this is the beauty of civilization's progress. If you know how to use them appropriately with wisdom and understanding, then it is very helpful even to assist us to develop the first and second turning wisdom, which is Suttamaya Panya and Chintamaya Panya. So these are very beautiful sharing and description. Okay, we move on back to the notes.
Oh, next chapter.
Oh, next chapter already, finished already. Oh, okay. Oh, no more already. Okay, good, at least we finished chapter 28. Now we go to 29. Okay, 29. 1.1. There is no short note for last week's Heart Sutta class, so we will use the short note of the last Tuesday Surangama Sutta class. Surangama is Leng Yan Jing. This one is a very famous sutta too, but it's very tough, very difficult for people to develop the understanding. If you cannot follow Heart Sutta, my advice is don't try to read this one. Yeah, this one is a lot more harder than Hasutta. The Surangama Sutta or Lengen Jing is important because without it, the Mara will create havoc. According to Master Xuanhua, this sutta will be the first sutta to disappear during the Dhamma ending age. If this sutta is around, the Mara will find it very difficult to delude the cultivators. The sutta explained clearly the danger of the 50 deviant samadhi, 五世阴谋. So this one is very beautiful, very complete in the sutta. So the 50 deviant samadhi that can trap the cultivator if they deludedly grasp onto any of these forms. The Surangama Sutta also explains how the living being comes into existence in this world of existence. They are the four stages of manifestation originating from the source. Then these four stages of manifestation are clearly explained in the notes to be given out at the next Tuesday class. So that one I have reproduced down there. But before I go to that, I have to share a little bit about this 50 deviant samadhi, 五世阴谋. Why are they called deviant samadhi? Because they are not sama samadhi. So these are samadhi that is based on the thought process, energy field, thought base, mainly jhanas. So if you do that, it's described very clearly in the Surangama Sutta that these are deviant samadhi, these are not right samadhi. And these are all the various type of very fantastic level of meditative experience. Even the one that experienced by Xu Yun Lao He Sang, when he was meditating in the middle of the night, that all of a sudden the mind becomes so bright, the whole room or hall like become daylight, very clear. But that is a deviant samadhi. That is not the real samadhi. Then within the Surangama Sutta, there are even more fantastic mind state than this. The ability to see this, what they call manifestation of light, obasa. So all this, when they manifest, it's like you have psychic ability. You are very different, like you are very special, very powerful and all those things. Then sometimes they can read mind, levitate and do all those things. Then sometimes all these images will come, like shots of fixed images. Then you think you are seeing past life and all those things. Then sometimes manifestation of great being, you think you have met up with Kuan Yin, you think you have met up with all the great beings. Then there are a lot of many other very fantastic things. So all these 50 deviant samadhi, they are linked to your five aggregates of form and mind. It seems every aggregate, starting from the form aggregate, there are 10 deviant samadhi manifesting. Then when you move on to the feeling aggregate, there is another 10. Then when you move on to perception aggregate, there is another 10. Then when you move on to sankhara aggregate, there is another 10. And when you move on to consciousness aggregate, there's another 10. So the Mahayana believe you have to meditate to break through all this aggregate. So when they break through the aggregate of form, they will know what that thing is. Then they will break free from the aggregate of feeling, Vedana. Then they go beyond the aggregate of perception. Then they go beyond the aggregate of sankhara activity. The one that can go beyond the aggregate of sankhara activity is considered very, very special. Then the one that can go beyond the what they call consciousness. So they believe in all those things, and there is some basis for that type of cultivation. I met one, also a lay person. He is also very good. He is a doctor. He actually came to Malaysia, I think for a while only. Then one of our circle of Dharma friends, cultivator, he know the teacher of this doctor. He used to go to Taiwan. Then he invited him over. Then we had some few sessions with him. He's very good. He's very good. Although a lay person, a doctor, he's the blue eye boy of his teacher. His teacher also a lay person. I don't know if you all have heard of his teacher before. His teacher is more famous, Nan Huai Jing. So when he met us, then we take him for lunch and dinner. Then I used to sit beside him. Then he knew I was different. Then he asked me a few questions. So he approached it from the Mahayana aspect. So at that time he asked me, he said, have you broken through the sanya aggregate? So I told him, I don't know what you mean by all this sanya aggregate and all this thing. Because for me, my mundane mind has collapsed. Oh, then he knew. He knew what that thing is. Then for him, he said, if you break through the form aggregate, then you can know that you are in the dream state. You can know that you are in the dream state. Yeah, I told him I know that I am dreaming when I'm in the dream state and I can pass myself. So he was very excited. He said, you have broken the aggregate of form. Then the feeling also. Then after that, when he come to perception, he asked me, I said, must have gone through already. Because perception to me is, I have the direct seeing already. I got no more problem with perception already. Then later on, when my mundane mind collapsed, I told him there is nothing left inside there. The mundane mind is gone. So all this 50 divine samadhi, somehow they cannot trap me and cannot get me involved, because my past cultivation was very straight. And that's why I knew all this. You shouldn't be involved, or you shouldn't touch them. Yeah, these are deviant samadhi, very powerful mind state. So when you have developed the understanding that only wisdom free, you will not touch them. They are like the Theravada tradition that describe the 10 what they call defilement of insight. Instead of using the word deviant, they say defilement of insight. Actually, you have progressed. These are insight knowledges, very beautiful. But it's a defilement where you attach to it, you cling onto it, and you get excited over it. So this 50 divine samadhi, a lot of Mahayana that went into jhana, they get caught. That's why they are very like keen on developing the si chan ba ding. Si chan is the four form jhana. Then ba ding is the eight jhana attainment and all those things. So the four form jhana and the four formless jhana. Yeah, this one manifests a lot of psychic ability. Very fantastic meditative experiences. So without the Surangama Sutta, all this teaching will be gone. Then the Mara will have a field day, they will take over. And nobody know that all these are deviant samadhi. So a lot of people will be excited by the fantastic meditative experience and mind state. And all those 50 deviant samadhi mind state, you go through the Surangama Sutta, I tell you, if you are not the real cultivator, you can be attracted to it. Because the way it happened is so fantastic. To you, you can never believe that this type of meditative experience is the deviant samadhi, because very few people can do it. And after they can do it, they experience it, it's like, wow, this is really fantastic. It's like they have become very special. But it's not all this fantastic meditative experience that free your mind. Do you understand? The one that free your mind is wisdom. Without wisdom, even you can levitate, fly into the air, read people's mind, go into the ground and come out, so what? Bury you for 7 days, 49 days, and you can still survive, so what? Do you have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path? Can you be at peace and heedful throughout the day? Are you free of suffering? That is more useful. So wisdom is the only thing that frees the mind, nothing else. So this part I want to add on. Okay, we go back to the notes now. Maybe I will explain one more section, how human beings comes to be, then we can end. So the last paragraph, page 148, from the source comes the true mind in pure awareness before the knowing. Man, because of the basic ignorant cause, since time without beginning, by the first thought of ignorance, we screen the true mind. So this is what the Buddha meant by inconceivable is the first thought of ignorance that condition humanity to like get lost and become what it is. So this is the Surangama's version that really describes how the first thought of ignorance comes. So he said, man, because of basic ignorant cause, means this is like the stirring that started. So basic ignorance means very basic, it's still very basic, not the complicated type of very conditioned ignorant or delusion. It's just the basic ignorant cause, means still at a very early stage. We are from that awareness nature, it starts to stir. And the first thought of ignorance, so since time without beginning, this is what the Buddha called as inconceivable, is the beginning. So this is the same. Since time without beginning, by the first thought of ignorance, which screen the true mind. That's why that true mind, that nature actually is get itself obscured. So when that thing happened, it became subject to birth and death. Birth and death means it conditioned the next thought. So these are initially very basic thought process, still very pure. Thus both permanent and impermanent unite to transform that true mind into alaya vijnana, or store consciousness. So this is how it happened according to Mahayana, the Surangama Sutta. So both permanent and impermanent unite, that duality, to transform that true mind into alaya vijnana, or store consciousness. This is how the mundane mind starts, the root of samsara. The alaya consciousness has three characteristics. This is how karma comes in. A karmic one, which is basic ignorance resulting from self-evidencing, a changing of condition arising. So this one is the universal characteristics. A changing or condition arising one, which turns fundamental wisdom into false perception. That's how you become deceived. You perceive them to be real, to be unchanging, to be permanent, to be a permanent unchanging entity. That's why you can grasp onto it. So the karmic one, which is basic ignorance resulting from self-evidencing a changing or condition arising one which turns fundamental wisdom into false perception, the root of the first seven consciousness. So this one is about the eight consciousness that the Mahayana explained. So this is the seven consciousness, false perception. And its expression in appearances or form. So that's how you bring the external form into the mind. Because of basic ignorance, the spiritual brightness, the nirvanic absolute void, has changed into dull and deluded emptiness. This is called the primordial darkness. Hence Manjusri said, thus in delusion there appear one-sided emptiness. Within this dull emptiness, ignorance gradually crystallized and turned into illusionary form made of the four elements, resulting in an imaginary world created within the void. When false perception confronted form, a very small portion of the form was gradually grasped as being self-possessed and being supported by wrong perception. Mind and form, or form and mind, united and grasped at this dim little form as the ego, thereby creating the living being made up of the five aggregates of form and mind. Hence Manjusri continued, steadying itself, the thinking process makes the continent, and the illusionary knower becomes the living being. So that's how you create and come. So that thinking process crystallizes and solidifies. Yeah? Then they are the one that is responsible for the arising of the continents, the world system, and all those things. And the illusionary knower becomes a living being. Then via self-delusion and ignorance, the living being with the mundane or samsaric mind, five mental aggregates of form and mind, came to be via karmic conditioning, and this was then grasped at. Hence the self-delusion or sakayadity. This was the origin of a living being. Ever since then, this living being grasps at the condition arising five aggregates of form and mind, as the ego, as the I and the me. So how then can he now recognize its boundless true mind before the stirring? That's why living being got lost for so long. How can they realize that they have a nature within? To silence the mind, to realize the pure awareness, also now they can't do it. So how can they return? There is no way. And they don't even know that they have fallen since the timeless or the limitless period, since the first thought of ignorance, the basic primordial darkness. So all this is the reason why living being can never as per what is written in the Surangama Sutta. So how then can they now recognize the boundless two mind before the stirring? Isn't it? Because you don't even know that you are from that nature that come on. So how can you return? How can you understand that you are originally just that beautiful nature, boundless true mind? Then comes the external phenomenal world, or the world of form and consciousness, created by the mundane mind via its condition arising thought and consciousness. So our meditation is to develop the wisdom to understand all this retrospectively, to return the entire external phenomenal world of form and consciousness back to the pure awareness or consciousness within the mundane mind. Then silence and still the mundane mind to connect back to the true mind before returning it to the source via the complete cessation of form and mind. So this is how you come out. Then you have to develop the wisdom, the insight to reverse all this. So the external phenomenal world of form and consciousness is created by the mundane mind through its mundane consciousness. So you have to return all external form and external thing that you perceive back to your mundane mind, mundane consciousness. Then this mundane consciousness, you have to return it to the pure awareness, this four circle. Very good, my daughter has it. So the external phenomenal world is the external manifestation of mind created via mental consciousness, so external form, the world of consciousness. So you return it back to the mundane mind. So this mundane mind, because of self-delusion, the knower become the living being, the five aggregate of form and mind, traveler in space and time via karma. So this is how you come out and create the external manifestation of mind, means the world of external form and the world of consciousness. Then when you can cease your mundane mind and return to your true mind, which is the pure awareness, the silent mind, that is the beginning of understanding. This is your meditative mind. You have to meditate from here through the pure awareness, silent your mind. Then observe through mindfulness, see clearly this mundane mind and see how they condition you into negativity, reaction, and stirring your mind, and see how you grasp and cling onto the external world of form. So all this understanding, the moment you understand, you can return them until the form and mind cease. Then you realize the enlightenment, which is Nibbana. And Nibbana is to realize the oneness nature, the Buddha nature. So return all external form or manifestation created by mind to mental consciousness, then mental consciousness to the pure awareness or the true mind to realize your Buddha nature or the oneness nature, which is also the source of all things. This is also the unconditioned Nibbana. Okay, good. Anything else? Oh, okay, we stop here. So 1.1 we finish. The 1.2 later, because otherwise too late already. Okay, we will stop here. So we are at page 149. Okay, good. So we will stop here for your meditation reporting or Q&A. Okay. While I have a drink, you can just come in if you want to say anything or report your meditation. Or ask any question. Okay, Brother Song, you can come in. Unmute for Brother Song. You go down. I
click
there, will
you click?
Okay. Brother Teo.
Brother Song.
Brother Teo, I'll share 拜二的一个 meditation.
Good. Sadhu.
Okay, 在拜二 during 听 在 class 的时候 我 during 听那个 talk 的时候 我是在 sitting meditation 听 Then 我 stay 在那个 heart 那一边 So initially 就 刚开始有一点 不是很稳 这样子 So 我就慢慢的去 stable 它 但是就只是 听到你的声音 但是听不到那个
Never mind. Then, just let the vibration go in. Because you can develop the understanding later. Because when you pick in the vibration, you listen from the heart, you have to understand later on. It's not from memory that you understand. But all these vibrations, they are wisdom energy that can go in. Then you just silent, relax. That's why don't try to know. Then the transformation will happen by itself. But you must remember, so relax. No matter what happens, relax. That nature, when it starts to tighten or whatever, you relax into it. Well, sometimes initially, like I shared with you before, that vibration, that energy that comes, that nature of mind is sometimes too strong for you. But relax into it, whatever happened, until it's stabilized, until you can receive it. Then that time you will progress very fast. Because when you listen from the heart, it's just the vibration. You don't have to know the thing. Then moreover, it's recorded. Later on, you want to understand, you listen again. When you listen again, you can listen mindfully, attentively. But when the meditative state arises, you can listen from the heart. Stay at the heart. Sometimes you are in the lying down meditation or the same. Stay there and listen from there. But not everybody can do this. Not until you have your basic daily mindfulness developed very stable, then you can be very sensitive with the awareness and mindfulness. Then your heart area have already been activated and other things. Then you know how to go there and silent. You cannot listen in the way that I described for song. So don't just because you listen, then you try to listen. No, you wait for your time. Because initially, you have to listen from your normal mind with awareness. You listen from your normal mind with awareness. Don't try to straight away listen from the heart. But you can go to the heart and try to listen. You try to listen, it's okay. But you don't give up the understanding parts. You listen with understanding first. Then you realize when you are at the heart, the brain is away. So a lot of memory thing doesn't come to you. So initially you're listening like bits and pieces, like no connection, like you cannot quite understand, because when you listen from the brain, or the memory, the senses, everything is working very well. Yeah, this is your usual way of listening. But you have to break away from there and start listening from the heart. Then you have to allow the heart there to stabilize. Then only you later on switch off the knowing. Don't try to know, just listen. Let the vibration go in. Let the awareness. That one later. For people who have not developed the meditation, initially don't. Just listen like normal, but from the heart. From the heart means from the heart area, you develop the awareness to listen. So you don't depend so much on the brain, which is good training. If you do it after a while, depending on your past and your ability to understand, if you are patient, maybe after 3 months or 4 months, it will stabilize. Then you realize, now you can listen from the heart. You don't need to go to the brain. Like everything is normal again, connected again. Then that time, you will have much, much less thinking, because you are not at the brain already. Most of the time, you are at your heart area, away. So this one is very good. Okay, so keep it relaxed.
听了大概 about 15 minutes 过后啊，突然间有一股 vibration， 像这样，整个这样子 sweat 啊，烧全身啊，一次 vibrating 一次。
Let it happen.
对。然后然后过后 after 了这个 class， 我就去睡觉我就 lying down
你一定要去睡觉。
对。然后我又开着另外一个normal 的 talk。另外一个 class 的 talk usually 在4岁我会开，
对。
然后我一 line down 的时候，我就 feel 到我的 heart 我的心跳很，它就我可以 aware 到它就在那边跳动罢了，
对。
但是它不是很 strong 的，不像以前叫 pop 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 这样，它是很轻的在那边vibrating。然后过后慢慢的我就可以感觉到我的每一个呼吸我一呼吸我就 vibrating，
correct， it's connected to that， but 你要 relax into it， 要记得 relax into it， 你要 relax into it then only the vibration will become more and more subtle， more and more subtle， and more quiet， otherwise it build up， So you should relax into it. So relax into it means 好像 Colin 他们说啊 be with it, be with it, then just relax, maintain awareness. Then 给他 like become more and more quiet on its own, no? You don't go and do anything, doing just maintain awareness, relax. That's why relaxation is very important. Then maintain that awareness.Then Keta become more and more quiet, more. Then you will go through that phase like Bok Ching went through, because your heart there very strong, but your relaxation not deep enough. That's why you cannot slow down that thing. So you have to balance. You have to balance. You have to relax. Yeah, yours is you try to like make it forceful there.But it's not the vibration that transform you. That one give you a lot of energy. You have to relax into it more and more until it become very quiet and very still. Then you will go through the phase like Bok Ching described last Tuesday, where it become like more and more quiet, more and more subtle. Then suddenly it disappear like no more habit. You have to experience that.You have to go through that phase. Then whatever it is, like you say that vibration is so strong, it like sweep through your body, let it do. Because that one is what that nature's energy is capable of. But you should let it relax and go into your nature. That one is more beautiful, more genuine. Well, that one that goes through your nature,You have to allow your gateway to naturally open by itself. It's like Po Cheng mentioned, it's like a tunnel. It's a very soothing one. You will go in, the energy will melt inside. So you need to develop more relaxation. Relaxation. So initially, whatever you have done, don't worry, it's okay. Maybe you can continue to describe what you did. Then later I advise you.
So, 我在 line 到的时候，它就越来越 subtle 的，就很你它就一直这样 vibrate， 很 subtle 的每一个 breath， 它就在 vibrating， 然后我在听着你的 talk， 又很像听到，又很像听没有这样。
不用听我说 ，never mind。
About I think 都很久了 ，I think probably 45 minutes， 这样突然间有一个很像里面很像突然间有。Understand 了这样子啊
Oh, never mind. That one
let
it happen. Let it happen.
有个感觉然后过后就 after that
可以 It can arise. But most important thing is you continue to listen until you like not listening, never mind. You maintain awareness of that vibration enough already. That vibration
then,
is wisdom energy.
Then after 一个小时过后我就很像整个人又回到了就来我又可以 feel 到这个 body 就是 lying on 的那个 bed 这样子
back to your conscious state you come back to your conscious state
所以就
then
after that 哦我现在回到了 daily 我发现到我整个人尤其 especially 今天我一没有做东西我一坐住我就很容易的听到 feel 到那个
Your mind becomes very sensitive, very subtle, very clear. You can become very sensitive of many things that people cannot hear one.
Then 没有好像没有 thought 了这样。
对。
整个很静，就只是一个，整个人就很静了，就很 aware 了这样。
You will go through that because when you listen from your heart, when if you continue to relax, you will transform much faster.Because when you continue to listen from your heart, all this vibration that you receive is my wisdom energy. So this wisdom energy actually, it will activate your heart area and let you understand. But if you relax more, then it will go in deeper. It will go in deeper, you understand? What you have gone through is good. Then you will come to realize that the understanding justhappen, then your transformation of consciousness like you described is like very quiet, no more thought already. So you will go through that phase. that pure awareness become more and more like the vibration become more and more fine. The word is fine. Then later on, it will trigger off the mundane mind to collapse. But you have to go into your nature. Let the pure energy go in. Means relax, silence everything until it becomes very, very quiet. Then your heart area there, it will, the yin yang energy will go in. You can develop that. It will help you. It will make you progress very fast. Then like Pok Cheng Wan, once it went in, it's a very soothing energy that goes in. Then the internal movement will happen. Then you become like completely transformed very fast. That one really no thought one, just away. Then that whole hour or what, just that nature like that. Then after that, a lot of things will happen. So remember to relax. For you, the relaxation is key. Then don't try to go back to the top to question again. You can go back to the thought to reflect, to contemplate and stabilize your understanding. But don't use it to analyze your problem, understand? Not? That is the trap. That one I have already told you many times. So a lot of cultivators don't understand. They go and analyze and reason why they still got this, why they still got that. That is a trap. Because the moment you understand, only wisdom free, whatever that arise, like the Buddha said, there are causes and conditions, let things be. Accept the reality of the moment. Then just move. Then the understanding keep on unfolding. But you can reflect and contemplate to stabilize your understanding. To make it very stable so that later on you can share, you can teach. You have to stabilize it. Otherwise, when you come out and share and teach, if it's not stable, you will try to go to the memory. So those are the phases you have to find out yourself. You will have to develop your own understanding of it.
Okay, but actually, 那个 boss 骂我的那个 incident, 然后过后你的 explanation, 我一直在听，然后去 contemplate, but 那个 understanding 真的是帮了我很多，帮了你很多。
Otherwise，你会那个 very subtle 的那个 Monday mind 啊，会在后面啊 back door 啊，整天搞你的。
所以那天拜二我这样子的一种很那种感觉很像是一种 transformation yeah, 这两天就是那种那个 subtle 的那个 jetting 那个后面的那个 mind 很像没有了这样子
yeah, 因为你过了 but later on 还会来的 as a test 你不要去太高兴 whatever happened remember this this one I seldom share with you. Whatever happened, accept the reality that it is part of the way, part of the cultivation. Whatever happened to you is meant to be part of the way, part of the cultivation. So don't doubt, just continue. Sometimes it comes as a test. Then every time you want to check whether you have progressed, then the mundane mind will tell you, "Are you maybe I have already deteriorated or forget about it." That one is the thought coming back to the back door. The thing that you have to remember is when you are developing all this understanding and cultivation, you just cultivate sincerely with the faith, everything diligently, then until the whole transformation continues. It is like we say, unending process. You cannot say finish or whatever. But what the Buddha mentioned as beyond training is true. Beyond training means the wisdom already there. You technically actually no need to like last time, that religious routine, hold on to it continuously and develop the training. Under training, you have to do it. But after you have later on become very stable with your understanding beyond training, you technically don't have to do all those things already. Then you can live your life, you can experience further things that is related to the form and mind. Because the nature one you understand very deeply already. Then you don't have to be like normal people. Like last time I used to share with you, you just ask me, but why you don't go for retreat? I can't go for retreat because the retreat is something else. They do all the things, no meaning already to me. So for me, if there's no condition, I don't even want to hold retreat to teach people. But because there is condition, that's why our Cameron Highland retreat, I still hold, I still like give you all the confidence, the faith. So I sometimes try to sit with you all, yeah, to develop the meditative training with you all. But most of the time you realize when it's about 1.5 to 2 hour meditation, I will walk around because I need to check what Kayamita are doing. Then some people, they do certain thing on their own. My nature know when I pass by, I can see, I can sense. That those who are really serious, I also, my nature will know. That's why there is a lot of joy. So whatever it is, when you reach the point that you have stabilized and the understanding is very beautiful, you are beyond training. And then that time you don't have to like full time doing it and all those things. But initially you have to. Don't be complacent. Your complacency is a defilement of insight. It will trap you. So initially continue with your daily religious routine. Then stabilize your understanding. Because it took me quite a while. Actually, after 1989, I actually have all the understanding. But all this transformation and evolution of consciousness, I went through where my nature is so strong, need to go through. So as I go through, nobody reached that stage where I can share. So that's why during that time, I just do. Yeah. Then I think after about 15 years, then I realized whether I do or I don't do, no different really. Well, my understanding, my nature has already become like that. So that's why that time I didn't go back to my routine anymore. But that 3 years, 86 to 89, I did non-stop. Then after that, I only meditate, because I already detected the gateway. So when I meditate through the gateway, wow, a lot of things happen, the transformation. That's why when you reach that stage, I can share with you, I can explain to you. Because that stage, very few people can reach. So far, I think only a few of you. So this is something very good. Remember to relax. Then let that nature detect the gateway. Then let the yin yang energy go in. You will progress much faster. So what you are doing at the moment is already okay, not bad. But don't be like too interested in like getting your heart area like vibrate until very strong. You have to relax into it and make it very quiet. On its own, you will become very quiet and you will go through that phase like Poching described. Then it become very subtle. Then suddenly disappear. When it disappear, you still have to check. No? It's actually still very fine. It's still there. But then later on, when the awareness becomes so stable, then it know nothing really. Then you have the understanding and the wisdom. Think also like that. Don't think also. Don't try to know. Awareness also, just let it be. Then the cessation will come. The long period of cessation, longer and longer and longer. Then you keep on moving into cessation and come out, moving into cessation and come out. You will go through all those. Okay?
Sadhu.
So thank you so much. So for the good sharing.
Yeah, what do you do today?
Around first myself on this.
What is it?
Allow me to sit and a few more rounds of meditation. I try to see how to relax.
No, never mind. You just describe what happened today. You don't describe you cannot learn. Describing what you do is very important. Yeah, that will show how you do it. Whether you have the understanding or not is very important. You still say you are learning how to relax, isn't it?
Yeah.
Miss, you are not relaxed, isn't it?
Maybe I'm not relaxed.
Okay, never mind. One by one, you don't jump the gun.
Okay.
If you are not relaxed, find out why are you not relaxed.
Mm.
放松都不懂 eh? At ease, relax. Like when you're very tired, how do you relax?
I just know that by relax, I will breathe very deeply, and then I keep on breathing only. That's the thing.
That is not relaxed. That is right. Doing your breathing exercise. When you are calm, you know how to develop sati out of that breathing, then you become calm. And when you become calm, you think you are relaxed. You are still not relaxed. You are more calm. So understand the difference. People who do the sati, anapanasati correctly, or they go and focus and concentrate, they become calm. But they are not relaxed. The tension is still there. But the thinking, like very little or no more, because the calmness keep the thinking down. It's all the mental hindrance, the heedless thinking, because of your so-called concentration or the so-called mindfulness, you cannot think, understand or not? So this is a conditioned state. So understand it. The reason why you are not relaxed and not able to get the free mind is because your thought try to relax. How many times must I tell you, don't try to know, don't do anything. Just relax. At ease. 自在. Like nobody is controlling you. 自在. Be at ease. The word. Understand or not? 放松自在.
Okay.
That's why 法鼓山, you know that famous 圣严法师, he left 16 words. He said, to meditate, 16 words. 放松, 全体放松, 身在哪里, 心在哪里? Can you understand? 身在哪里? 心在哪里? 放松, 全体放松. That is meditation. When we visited Fagusan, when I heard the disciple told me this 16 word, I sadhu. I said, this is the master that really know meditation. You know what is 放松 or not? Relax. And he said, not only relax, the word, 全体, your whole body and mind, 放松. Then 身在哪里? 心在哪里? That is kayanupasana. Wherever your physical body is, your physical action is, the awareness is with it. That's like 身在哪里? 心在哪里? 16 words, very simple. And the first thing is relax, 放松. Relax what? Body and mind, 全体放松. Then daily mindfulness. 身在哪里? 心在哪里? That is what meditation is all about. That's why people who understand, they can describe it in their own way, and you know they understand. They have the number. So very easy. When you bow, just bow. Bow until body and mind become one. Then when sati come, you know. Your free mind is in a relaxed state without thought. That's how you develop it. Don't try to relax. Your thought that try make you unable to relax. You are trying. You are creating your own thinking, stressing yourself out. Relax means no tension, no stress, at ease. Understand? 自在. 什么都不用做. 这么难 meh? Understand? 什么都不用做, 这么难 meh? 没事做 is the best, ma. But For you, mo ye zhou, your monkey mind, your heedless thinking mind is terrible. Agitated, because that habitual tendency, the heedless thinking, your spiritual faculty not stable, your mindfulness not stable, that's why you cannot do it. Don't blame yourself. Because of ignorance, avijja, all this happened. So not you. Avijja was never you. That wrong thought, the self-delusion was never you. So it is due to ignorance that conditioned you into such mind state. So when you understand, straighten your view, you become different. And when you understand, meditation is so easy. Relax and aware. How difficult can it be? But you don't want to find out, you don't want to try. That's why I say you have to describe it. Otherwise you will be stuck. Understand not? It's not how many lessons you do. If you do without understanding, you are repeating the wrong thing. So how can you learn? Maybe you become more calm, but that is not the real meditation. If you can become more calm, it may help, because it means either your anapanasati, your mindfulness is there, or you have developed some form of concentration. Then just relax into it and stabilize the mind. So that, like swimming, without the float, can you still swim? Means without the object of meditation, without the breath, can you still be silent, peaceful, aware? That is meditation. No need anything to make you peaceful. The free mind must, on its own, be peaceful. That is the real meditation. That's why relax and let the mundane mind, the thinking mind, settle down, slow down until it ceases. If Pochen can do, a lot of other Kayamita can do, why can't you also develop the understanding? If others can do, I also can do. Have faith. Then you will be able to do it. Understand?
Yes.
Huh.
Yes.
Sadhu. This one can help a lot of people.
Yes, I would like to thank all the Kayamitas who support.
Yeah, you should actually determine, rejoice, because they really motivate you, understand? Then they actually encourage you. And you should actually rejoice and thank them and determine. So from now onward, instead of wasting your time doing all the heedless thing, determine to be aware, mindful, relaxed, silent, aware. Daily religious routine, do the walking, bowing, sitting, chanting, do it. Then five daily contemplation, do it. You can still go about doing your daily activity, no problem. But that time, develop daily mindfulness. Follow the Fa Ku San 16 word instruction. Sen zai nali, sing zai nali. Means aware. Every action, every movement in the present moment. That is Kayanupassana. Then mindful of your breath, mindful of all your action, movement, kaya. Even the hand stretching away. No word on. To take the cup. When you hold the cup. No word, nothing. Then how you move it to drink. When you drink, no need to think. A lot of people cannot. The hand move there also think. By the time you hold the cup, you are thinking of something else. Then when you move, also you're not aware. How you drink, you don't have clear awareness. Your thought actively thinking. See this, then change. Then determine to be aware. Can I just be aware? Sen zai nali, sing zai nali. My awareness and my movement as one. Walking also same. Away from inside, body and mind as one. Just walk. No need to know. When the sati come, you will know. When you are in that state, your form and mind will know. So the thought that doesn't want to know progress very fast. Because that thought is no longer actively trying to know, trying to do, trying to meditate. But that one cannot meditate. The awareness is not the thought. Always remember that. When you are without thought, you are already aware. So, silent, relax, maintain awareness, and just do walk. everything aware from inside. You must be constantly aware, ever mindful from inside your heart here. Okay?
Okay.
So hopefully with this, Kayama Vita can learn.